Hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me, as always, is Dave, or I should say, welcome back, Dave.
Thanks. It's been a busy couple of weeks. More stuff with the house, and we've had out of town visitors. So I'm back.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Nick Doyle. Proudly filled in for you.
Nice.
I think you did a good job. We talked a lot of Jack Kirby last week and Hellboy. He basically convinced me I need to start reading Hellboy. Did you ever read Hellboy?
I read like a trade or two. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but not enough.
Well, you know, there's I don't know. It seems like an expansive universe, you know, where you've got Hellboy, you got BPRD. I don't know what else is going on, but, you know, there's all these, like, you know, Mike Mignola covers out there that look like there's a lot to catch up on. And it's always felt a little daunting. So, you know, I read like a couple and I was like, yeah, that's good. I got the idea.
And Nick did a good job of explaining like the order to read it in. You could basically ignore BPRD if you want to, though I hear it's really good. I actually know people who like BPRD more than they like Hellboy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's something that I'd actually want to, you know, ignore. Being the completist, it's always like, oh, well, what am I missing out on here?
You know. Oh, no, I hear you. When I tend to read a title and then it has a couple of tie-ins, I have to hunt down those tie-ins, especially if they're good. You know, I'll readily ignore tie-ins on a bad crossover.
You could read Scott Snyder's Batman and you could leave, Batman The Dark Knight alone, the comic book.
That's exactly how I read Batman.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was looking at, you know, they've had a bunch of Batman sales out lately, and I'm like, you know, the three Batman series that, you know, are out there that were good, that I was interested in, is the one Grant Morrison wrote, which I read.
Okay.
Peter Tomasi's book, and Scott Snyder, and I was like, the rest. It kind of is like, you know, maybe I'd read during a crossover, like, you know, any crossover issues, but for the most part, I don't see the reason of reading those. However, with Hellboy, I kind of feel like, okay, this is, a small universe relatively, even though, like, what has been published is fairly vast, you know.
Right.
And it's all, you know, seems, you know, to be looked over by Mike Mignola, and, you know, I would want to get the big picture.
No, I agree with you 100%, and I'm looking forward to reading Hellboy, but it's one of those things where I feel like I have to devote a certain block of time to it and say, okay, for like the next 3 months, I'm basically going to be reading Hellboy and not much else.
Right. So... Well, speaking of Dark Horse, Veil number 4 is finally coming out.
Yeah, that was a bit delayed, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I kept thinking that, like, I fell off the series, but no, the series fell off me.
That's funny. I was about to make the same joke. Yeah, the series totally fell off you. Yeah. Now it's back, and it's like, hey, Dave, come on. Let's
hey,
be
I'm back.
Again.
Hey, I'm back, Dave. Come on. Come on,
start reading. Yeah, Val is definitely one of the most unique series, I would say, of the past year.
Yeah. I know there's a Mind Management by Matt Kent out, and I want to start catching up on those in trade because they're supposed to be really good. And I've liked all the stuff he's done for DC.
Mind Management does look really good. They actually sold an NYCC exclusive edition of the trade last year at New York Comic Con, and I thought about buying it, and I don't even know why I did it. There might have been too long a line at the Dark Horse booth that day.
Yeah, and it looks, you know, just from the art I've seen, it looks very Jeff Lemire-like, and
you do love your Jeff Lemire.
I do, and that's kind of why I'm like, oh, I could maybe check this out.
Yeah. Now, and also coming. So, speaking of Dark Horse, Marvel at San Diego Comic-Con announced their first wave of Star Wars-related comics because Dark Horse is losing the license. Marvel was bought by Disney, as was Star Wars. And now because of that, Marvel is going to be publishing Star Wars comics for the first time since the 1980s.
Right. And
Dark Horse is losing a license that they've had, I think, since 1993. So we're talking about like a 22 or a 21-year-old relationship.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bummer because I've been reading Brian Wood's Star Wars series, which is just called Star Wars, and it has been excellent. There's no new issue of it coming out this week. There is a new issue of Star Wars Rebel Heist, which is written by Matt Kidd, who writes Mind Management, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Basically, the gorgeous Adam Hughes covers on this comic convinced me to almost buy it. But really, I just want to look at it. He doesn't do the interior art. I feel like I always get beat and switched when I buy a comic with like an Adam Hughes or an Alex Ross cover, and then I open it up and I'm like, yeah, this art could be great. At the same time, I'm just a little disappointed.
Right, right. You're like, I feel like that was, I think when Planet X came out, I had that feeling when I looked inside and I was like, I'm not buying this.
Oh, Earth X?
Earth X, that's right.
Yeah. It's funny because that was John Paul Leone, who's a very like Mike Mignola-esque artist, at least back then. You could tell that he, like Mignola, was one of his heavy influences.
You know, I don't think the art was bad, but I think there's like Alex Ross on the cover, and, you know, that's kind of like what all the promo art you saw, like Alex Ross stuff, and it was like right after Kingdom Come, and I was like, yeah, Alex Ross, and I was like, this is not Alex Ross.
I agree with you 100%. I actually did not buy the comic, but then he did a signing at Midtown Comics, I think, when the last issue came out. So I went to that, I thumbed through that issue, and I was like, wow, the art is actually really gorgeous once you get past the, like, this is not Alex Ross photorealism, and it's much more Mike Mignola, much less photorealistic, you know, almost like impressionistic, the way he uses like an ink brush.
Yeah.
Out of the three Earth X, Universe X, Paradise X series, I think that was definitely the best of them. I wonder if it still holds up. I wouldn't mind reading that again.
Yeah, it's funny you say watching it. It kind of reminds me what we're describing of when, you know, like you see a trailer for a movie and then you go see the movie and it's nothing like the trailer.
Yeah, you're like, I did not sign up for this.
Right, right. And sometimes that could make you feel like the movie wasn't good, but it just wasn't what you expected.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that happens often enough for me.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Greg Rucka and Marvel, Cyclops number 3 came out, or is coming out this week, and I haven't read 1 or 2 yet. It's, you know, one of the plus sides of Marvel doing this quick shipping is that you say, oh yeah, here's another one. I this is still fresh in my mind. I could read this. This is, you know, almost like watching a TV show. The bad part about it is that like issue 3's out and I'm like, I gotta buy 3 comics just to catch up on this. I'm gonna wait.
Yeah, that's true. It's very easy to fall woefully behind with Marvel these days.
Yeah.
And now this follows the young Cyclops that came from the past to the present as part of the all new X-Men series. Am I right?
And now he's like in outer space with his dad or something.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Corsair of the Starjammers.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the premise of the series.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool series. I'm looking forward to reading that. I'll probably read that once it hits the Marvel Digital Unlimited app. Which I want to say, speaking of that, Marvel Digital Unlimited is doing a promotion this month that you can get 1 month of access to it for 99 cents, which is a huge bargain. It's regularly $10 a month for access, or it's cheaper if you go for a whole year membership. And this, I love it. Like, I use Marvel Digital Unlimited all the time. It's great for your catching up on things. Unfortunately, you don't get like brand new comics. Everything's usually about 6 months old, but it's great for reading like really old series, or, you know, reading stuff from like 2 years ago and just running through it completely. But yeah, if you use the offer code SDCC14 at marvel.com/MU, you can have your first month for only 99 cents, and you can cancel it before before that expires. Personally, I recommend doing the premium membership because you get an awesome Marvel Legends action figure and some other cool swag that they mail you on a regular basis. Yeah. Have you ever done the Marvel Unlimited app, Dave?
I haven't, actually.
I think you should use this promo code and try it out.
I might. You know, I saw it. I'm like, I wish it was like not during the time when I was,
planning a wedding and
building a house, basically.
No, I get that. They tend to do this offer code. I want to say maybe once a year. They did it at San Diego last year too. I was actually hoping that they would announce what the next action figure would be for those of us who have to renew soon, like myself.
I'm sure it'll be something cool.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be like a Watcher. Last time it was Age of Ultron because that was the big crossover. I wonder if it'll be a Watcher figure with missing eyeballs.
Oh, maybe. That would be cool.
Yeah, or maybe like a old man Nick Fury. Slightly less cool.
Yeah. Nick Fury in the nursing home.
Yeah. Are you caught up on Original Sin? Did you read the most recent issue?
I am. I did read the most recent issue.
I really like the way they explained old Nick Fury and that, his Infinity formula was just wearing out and that he's aged rapidly recently so that it doesn't negate every Nick Fury story you've read over the years.
Right. It did seem like that the Skrull, that was always a Skrull kind of, I'm missing the word for it, but just that it almost feels like a cop out sometimes.
Yeah.
Like a retcon.
Yeah, retcon.
And I like that too when I read that. I was like, okay, so I like that it's not the same thing. And I do like that he has like his names for his different LMDs and
yeah, definitely.
It seems pretty cool, and I like how he kind of gave it to Doctor Strange in that issue.
Yeah, he basically gave him the like Jack Nicholson speech from A Few Good Men.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
he's like, basically, you're allowed to go play hero because I'm taking care of the big threats.
Yeah. So, I guess should we talk freely about this?
Yeah, let's definitely talk freely about this. If you're not caught up on Original Sin, let's say you might want to fast forward for 2 minutes.
So I have two thoughts about this. Is that it's cool that he's like, okay, you guys are gonna all replace me as like the badasses of the Marvel Universe, who's gonna go around and like take care of shit when shit needs to be taken care of,
Right.
And I like that idea, but there's also the replacement Nick Fury that Marvel has been setting up that looks like Sam Jackson Nick Fury of the Marvel movie universe.
Yes.
And it kind of makes him seem like irrelevant if this is how it goes down,
Yeah, it almost makes him seem completely irrelevant in how big a badass they're making the current Nick Fury. And not involving him at all in this team of people who are going to, help Fury, like Fury's hand-selected crew.
Yeah, right. He's like, sorry, son, I chose Ant-Man.
And not even the original Ant-Man 2, and not even like the slightly evil Ant-Man, the Robert Kirkman one that came out about a decade ago.
Yeah. Not even the guy who is a little like doesn't have like great morals.
Yeah.
So that I wonder how that plays out. I mean, they just announced at Comic-Con that we're gonna see a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Comic book.
That they did. Yeah, written by Mark Waid.
Right, and Agent Coulson and Nick Fury Jr. will both be in this book. So I wonder if Jr. will be popping up soon. And if he's really going to be the Nick Fury of the Marvel Universe. They should stop calling him Nick Fury Jr.
Yeah, I think they also have to make him a little more badass in the comic. Like, every time I've seen him, even after they've taken one of his eyes out to make him look like Nick Fury in the movies, he doesn't have that same, like, swagger that Samuel Jackson has. You know, he still seems wet behind the ears.
Yeah, he's kind of learning as he goes. And, you know, if you're going to bring this Nick Fury look into the comics because you want to have synergy with the movies, then come on, do it the whole way. You know, I mean, if I was, going to read a comic with Nick Fury in it because I saw him on the cover and I see him, like, being wet behind the ears, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, definitely.
Nick Fury sucks. Like, and this, then I would probably not read it.
This version of Nick Fury seems more like Donald Faison and less like Samuel L. Jackson. No offense to Donald Faison. I think he's a great comedic actor.
Right.
He doesn't have that, ready to, Sam Jackson walks into a room and, like, takes command of the room. Donald Faison makes me laugh, in a very good way. Just, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Donald Faison, we saw Wish I Was Here this weekend.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, he's writing a comic book this week.
No. Nothing to do with comics, just having to do with Donald Faison.
Okay, cool.
This is pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Wish You Were Here, that's the movie about, kind of like Beatles-esque. Is that one?
No. It's Zach Braff's new movie that he funded through Kickstarter.
And what's it called again?
Wish I Was Here.
Oh, Wish I Was Here. Okay, I was thinking of the wrong movie with a different pronoun.
I think Wish You Were Here. I think that was a Pink Floyd lyric.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was thinking Across the Universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Did you support the Kickstarter, or is it out in the movie theaters right now?
It's out in the movie theaters right now. When you supported the Kickstarter, you got, access to other things than a movie theater, probably premiere stuff, all that different stuff. So, but it was really good. I felt like it was it wandered a little bit. Definitely overall, I feel like a better movie than Garden State. Garden State I liked when I watched it the first time, but as I grew up, I feel like it felt a little self-indulgent.
That's interesting. I saw Garden State recently. I think I still love it. I don't, maybe not as much as, I love it differently than I did the first, 20 times I watched it. But I love that movie. That's a movie I could just keep going back to.
Yeah, maybe I should watch it again, but that was the last impression I got of it when I watched it a few years ago.
Yeah, now I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. I did not support the Kickstarter since he got funded in less than one day.
Yeah, right. It was really good. Brought a tear to my eye a couple times. And Sarah's, too.
Nice. I've got to check that out. Now, back to comics for a minute. And I want to jump over to DC, away from Marvel. Justice League number 32 comes out. Justice League, in my opinion, is one of the best books DC is putting out right now. Written by Geoff Johns, art by Ivan Rice and Joe Prado. And if you're not caught, are you caught up on Justice League, Dave?
I mean, I'm caught up to, I think, the issue after Forever Evil.
Okay. Can I, this is a very minor, this spoils page one of the last issue. And
okay. That's
basically Lex Luthor has figured out that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yes. I knew that. I believe, I think that was the end of the last issue.
Okay.
Or maybe I read a preview of the next issue. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you read a preview of the next issue, because the whole last issue was basically almost like a battle of wits of them arguing in Bruce Wayne's study that, yes, you are Batman. No, I'm not Batman. And it's actually a great issue. It might be one of my favorite single issues of the year. It definitely top five.
Yeah, I went back to putting Justice League on the wait 2 months list, so I pay $2.99 instead of the $3.99 for it.
Oh, but, that's fair.
Yeah. I hold the line at $2.99, DC.
Unlike DC Comics. Now, there is a variant cover for this issue done by Howard Porter, and it's an homage to his to his Justice League number one from the Grant Morrison years. But instead of, you know, it's got seven people on the cover. So instead of Superman, I think it's Shazam. It's got Batman, Wonder Woman.
No. Lex Luthor is in Superman's place.
Oh, so is he in John Jones's place?
Yeah, Shazam's in Martian Manhunter's place. And I believe then Captain Cold's in Flash's place. And Cyborg is in
Green Lantern?
Green Lantern's place.
Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern's place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool cover. And I have to say, Howard Porter's art looks pretty good here.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have the dynamic look of that old cover, but
it's not as heavily inked as I think the old one was.
Yeah, but it definitely has a it looks like he has a stronger grasp of like anatomy and like solid human forms. It just looks better in that sense.
Yeah, I'm just glad he didn't give Lex Luthor a mullet.
Well, I mean, Lex Luthor did have more than a mullet back in those days.
No, that is true. Back around then is when he was sporting like his fro mullet, right? That heavy red curl look.
Yeah, yeah, that like long, luscious red curls, like way down below his shoulders, and a beard. That was when he was masquerading as Lex Luthor Jr.
Right. And but he was his own clone, right?
Right, yeah. He was trying to be like, hey, I'm not Sam Jackson, I'm Donald Faison. Love me, everybody. But inside, he was really Sam Jackson.
That's Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson would have made an excellent Lex Luthor. Too bad he's tied up at Marvel.
This is true. He would have been a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah. And also coming out this week is probably the comic I'm most excited about, which is a new issue of Hawkeye. So I feel like I've been in Hawkeye withdrawal for way too long. I don't remember when the last issue came out. That book definitely dropped me. That book dropped everybody.
Yeah.
And I was sad to find out that Matt Fraction, David Aja, and Annie Wu are bringing the series to a close in October.
Ah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Those are two Arrow books I will not be reading anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, Lemire is leaving Green Arrow, and Fraction's final issue, might be 21, which is just two issues from now.
Oh, man. Well, maybe that'll be in like a couple, like maybe that'll take us till March or something.
No, he's handed in the script.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like it's coming out in October. He's going to be focusing just on his creator-owned stuff, thanks to the success of Sex Criminals.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we talked a little bit about this last time.
Okay, we might have, but maybe on that on our Beach House episode.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, speaking of Arrow, there's been a lot of announcements between the Flash TV show and Arrow of characters appearing. And we know that Firestorm's going to be appearing in The Flash. Ronnie Raymond will be.
That's exciting because I love myself some Firestorm.
Yeah, this will be the first live-action Firestorm.
Oh, wow. I never considered that.
And the Atom, Ray Palmer, is going to be in Arrow, played by Brandon Routh, or Ruth Routh, I believe, of Superman fame, Superman Returns. And so that looks interesting. I saw a trailer. It seems like he is going to be trying to, he's a rival or wants to take over Queen Consolidated or whatever. Have you watched the trailer for this coming season?
No, I haven't. For Arrow, you mean?
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. You will want to like just run through seasons one and two.
Yeah, I maybe I will, because I started season one, and I haven't raced through it as quickly as I thought I would. But I definitely need to do that.
Oh, and so what I was building to is that today it was just announced that Wildcat will be joining
the series. Oh, I love Wildcat.
Ted Grant, yeah. So
Bobcat might be my favorite JSA character.
Me too. It looks like a young guy, though, so it's definitely not going to be, you know, old man Ted Grant, which is a little weird.
I love me some old man Ted Grant. And I wonder if by now we would have seen Wildcat in Earth 2 if James Robinson had stuck around.
I think he did have plans for that.
Yeah, man. Really wish he stuck on the book. Stupid yeah. DC.
Come on, DC.
And Flash has also cast Plastique. Obscure DC villain.
Yeah, Vibe's going to be on the show. So is
Vibe, wow.
Yeah. So.
That's cool. I will definitely be watching The Flash, and I'll definitely be watching Gotham. And I really need to speed through Arrow and catch up on that.
How about Constantine? Is that going to be on your list?
Is that also going to be this season?
Yeah, it's coming on NBC. Geez.
Yeah, I might have to give that a try too. Yeah, I think I'll only be watching hour-long comic book dramas this year.
Yeah, right. In the trailer for Constantine, he pulls out a Dr. Fate helmet.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just like the 3D cover for Justice League Dark or Constantine.
Oh yeah, that's right. So, yeah. So what have you been reading, Billy?
I have been on a binge of Monkey Brain Comics, the digital. I want to say digital only, but they're digital mostly because they tend to release their books in print and trade, but all their new stuff comes out digitally, similar to the way DC and Marvel release their digital only stuff and then release them in trade.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview on Word Balloon with the Robertsons, who run Monkey Brain, and mm-hmm. apparently that the creators have the rights to bring it to whichever publisher they want to.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So even though it might be a Monkey Brain digital comic, you could see it come out from IDW or Dark Horse, or I think there's like a couple different ones that will do the print publication.
So a few weeks ago, Monkey Brain had a sale on Comixology for Independence Day, if you remember, mm-hmm. and everything was half price. Now, their books are only 99 cents to begin with, so this dropped everything down to 50 cents for the most part. They do have a couple of digital-only titles like Code Monkey Save the World, which are $1.99, which dropped down to 99 cents. But so I basically bought all of Bandette, all of Code Monkey Save the World, all of Edison Rex. There was a Kurt Busiek one-shot that was a reprint of a story from Negative Burn from years ago called Thoughts on a Winter Morning that was actually an autobiographical comic, which isn't something you usually see from Kurt Busiek. And I also bought The Double Life of Miranda Turner. Out of those comics, the only ones I haven't read yet are issues 2 and 3 of Amanda Turner and You Save the World. And I will say this. Everyone needs to go on Comixology right now and buy every issue of Bandette and Edison Rex and pick up that Kurt Busiek story too. Edison Rex has quickly become one of my favorite comics. And Dave, I think you would love it. It's one of these books that's inspired by Superman and really turns it on the whole Superman mythos on its head.
Yeah.
Edison Rex is basically a Lex Luthor character, and he succeeds in the first issue of doing away with the hero, the Superman character, Valiant, but then realizes that it's now up to him to save the world. And it's almost like Max Danger, the lead character in Incorruptible from Mark Waid, but not as skeevy a guy, like much more science villain turned hero. And my favorite part of the comic might be at the end of each issue, there is an official Handbook of the Marvel Universe style entry for side characters that told from Edison Rex's point of view. So he gives you like his thoughts on them, the story, their backstory, and then you know their powers and limitations. And sometimes the limitations are like he thinks they're an idiot. it is such a fun comic. I definitely recommend reading it. It is worth the full price of 99 cents an issue, hands down. And what's cool is you can pick up there's a bundle called Monkey Brain Froats where for you get 6 books for $6. It's and you're saving a couple of bucks, I think, because 2 of the books are $1.99 books. You get like Amelia Cole and Wander, which are both $1.99. But in my opinion, just dive right into Addison Rex. Dave, I'm telling you, you will love this book.
All right, cool. Well, yeah. I've got a couple books on my list here. I did just download the because I got on that sale as well. So I put a couple on my iPad. So I'm working my way through the Manhattan Projects right now.
Oh, okay. How close are you to being caught up on that?
I'm in the second trade. There's 4 trades out, so I'm chugging along.
All right, nice. Yeah, so, I've got 2 issues of Edison Rex yet before I'm completely caught up. I read 14 out of the 16 issues, but it's terrific. It really is. And they do have 2 digital trades available where you actually save $1 per trade since it has 6 issues but only costs $5.
Yeah, I have all 3 trades.
Oh, of
Edison Rex.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 3rd trade.
Yep. And I had some Image I wanted to catch up on. So I recently read or reread part of and then caught up with the rest of Saga. Now I'm going to be reading Manhattan Projects, East of West, Sex Criminals, Peter Panzerfaust. I also was looking to read March and Heck. Those were 2 books from Top Shelf that got Eisner nominations.
Mm.
And I'll drop Edison Rex down and some Bandette, and I'll jump back in, let you know what I think.
Yeah, Bandette is super cute. It's basically about a thief in Paris, she's Bandette. It's almost as if you mix Catwoman and Batgirl together, because she also helps the police as well. Adorable. And then the art style of Bandette is very similar to The Double Life of Miranda Turner, which is about a girl who it starts off almost Starman-esque in that this is the sister of a superhero, and that superhero dies, and she takes over the role. And like Starman, she's even haunted by the ghost of her dead sibling, though she's haunted on a daily basis, not on a yearly basis.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's both of those books are a lot of fun. I love them both. I wish I had more time to dive into more Monkey Brain comics, because I'm sure there are more than just, you know, 3 or 4 good titles in this from this publisher.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dave, there is actually a Monkey Brain title called Dave. I'm amazed you didn't buy that.
I think I might have grabbed that on a free thing.
Okay. If they came out with a book called Billy, I would be all over it.
I've also been reading a bunch of DC's new their new number ones.
Okay.
And they've been good to not so good.
So which ones have been good and which ones have been not so good?
So I liked Suicide Squad. The new Suicide Squad. I enjoyed that. I thought that was a solid book. I read Grayson. I thought that was kind of it was okay. It wasn't exciting.
Yeah, I bought that but have not read it yet. And that disappoints me that you're saying it wasn't that great.
Yeah, it is a bit of a bummer. And then I read the new Teen Titans, which was not good. Not good. It just was okay. And then I read G.I. Zombie, which was written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray. And I don't know who the artist was. It looked very like photo referential. But that was great. It was good to great. It wasn't like I'd give it like out of 5 stars. I'd give it like a 3.5, maybe a 4. Hold on, that's our fire alarm.
Oh no.
It's okay. It's like right outside our bathroom. So if you take a hot shower, it goes off after you open the door.
Okay, I see. Dave, stop podcasting from the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few DC books. So out of all of them, it sounds like the only one that you liked really was Suicide Squad.
No, G.I. Zombie, I'd put
a book. Oh, right. The Infinity Man one, right?
Oh, yeah. I like that one. I'd put Infinity Man and the Forever People above Suicide Squad too, but I think I'd even put I'd put G.I. Zombie at the top of the list. He works for the government. He's dead. He doesn't know why, and he's got a partner, and you know he doesn't sleep, and he eats people. It's pretty fun.
who's working on that title?
Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray.
Right, you said that. I'm sorry.
So you know they're pretty good. You know. They're hit and miss with me, and that was definitely one of their better reads.
Yeah, because I remember last time, this might have even been like as recent as 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray as a writing team, and you didn't seem too big on them. Oh, because we were talking about that Harley Quinn book that came out about San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, right, yeah, and you know, like, I pass up on them. It usually depends on the artist. Like, I feel if they have a really good artist, the book ends up being really good. And that's why I'd always dabble with Jonah Hex, because, you know, I'd be like, oh, that looks good. And then I'd be like, And some issues, if the artist wasn't good, they're just very elevated by their artists. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, I'd actually never read their Jonah Hex. I do know people who loved it, but that's a good point. Like, if you're so on a writer, sometimes the art can definitely put it over the top for you, or tank it for you, depending on which way it is.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. So now, did anything else from San Diego jump out at you? I almost started the podcast would be like, we're both back from not going to San Diego.
no, not, I mean, oh, actually, I lied. Yes. Big yes. There's a lot of stuff. Grant Morrison was there, and I sent you he published a map of the DC multiverse.
Yeah, and they actually handed that out to people. At the DC booth.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, Tony Guerrero from Comic Vine, I think, Instagrammed a photo of it, and I was like, that looks so cool.
Yeah, and I like all the thought he put behind it. Like, he has, like, on it's like there's dark and light sides of the multiverse, and on the dark side, outside, like, all the Earths, you see, like, the God realm, and that side's where, like, Apocalypse is, and then the light side, there's, you know, New Genesis, and then, like, within all the worlds, you know, it's bordered by things like the Speed Force and the Source Wall, and he did, like, clever things where the side of the multiverse is the Stan Lee Just Imagine universe, and then the opposite side is an Earth completely inhabited by Jack Kirby heroes.
Oh, really? That's really cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot of interesting things that, you know, you could really look at that for a long time. And I think there's like 11 universes that aren't accounted for.
Yeah, I'm interested to find out what the monitor sphere is. Are we still subject to, like, you know, 52 monitors, or how many monitors?
He said it's continuing from his Final Crisis, and that basically Nick Ulaton, or I don't know how you pronounce that name.
Yeah, that sounds as good as any pronunciation I've heard.
And apparently he is the last monitor.
Oh, okay.
And so he is going to be the main character, if there is a main character, he would be the main character in the series of number ones that are coming out.
That's exciting. Yeah, I cannot wait for Multiverse Day. It looks so cool.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be the coolest thing that DC's put out in a while, I think.
Yeah.
Coolest and exciting at the same time.
Yeah. Although I feel the same way about the new Batgirl costume, too.
Oh, yeah, that looks totally awesome. We chatted about that at the Outer Banks.
Yeah, and what I love is the past few weeks on Instagram, I've noticed a lot of artists, either on their own or because they're getting commissions for it, are doing drawings of that costume. So it's cool to see so many artists tackle it before it's actually in print.
Yeah, and that it's so, like, everyone's, like, excited for it. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope it fares well, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. All right, well, I can't think of much else. That kind of, like, brings us to the end of Comic-Con. This was a weird San Diego Comic-Con for me. Usually, I'm, like, glued to the internet reading different news bits, and there wasn't that much this year that really just, like, jumped out at me and made me say, wow, I'm super excited for this.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean by that. I agree.
And I don't think it's that I became jaded or anything. I don't know what's going on. There just didn't seem much in the way of announcements the way that, like, a San Diego or New York Comic Con usually produces.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but you are right.
You are correct, sir. Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to, I think, the close of this episode. Dave, welcome back. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Speaking of comic book conventions, New York Comic Con is almost right around the corner. I know it's only July now, but it's going to be October before you know it. And Dave and I will both be there. We'll be giving you full reports from there. Yeah. So any parting words of wisdom, Dave?
None at all. I have no words of wisdom for anybody.
Okay. And sadly, neither do I. But people don't come here for wisdom. They come here for comic. They come here for our unwisdom-like takes on comic books.
Right.
Yeah. My lack of wisdom is so much that I've now used the phrase unwisdom-like.
All right.
Immediately, that Dave. But goodbye, everyone. Or as Bizarre would say, hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.